Well, this is an interesting stat. So far in Illinois this year, 2019, four law enforcement officers have lost their lives. Now, if you think about that, and you go back to 2018, that was the total number. And the idea that we have seen more and more accidents, whether it be on the roadways or just law enforcement officers losing their lives in the line of duty, it's something to be concerned about. And it's got a lot of ink in the last 6 months, of course. And the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation and and my guest who's coming up have done a lot to keep it in the news and to make sure that we're not forgetting about some of the issues that are around police and making sure that funds are raised for the families and making sure we don't forget. Phil Klein, the former Chicago Police Superintendent, is also the Executive Director of the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. He joins me in the studio. Phil, great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for the invite, Justin. Appreciate it.
You know, we were just talking before he came on just about I covered a lot of the news back in the 2000s and the 90s, and you were the superintendent at the time. But, you know, to see those that kind of stat, before we get into what you're doing with the lotto to raise awareness, to see a stat where you're seeing just in the first couple months fallen officers at the same level as a year's worth. What does that mean? What does that mean to you?
Well, it's scary. Last year, Chicago had four officers that were killed in line of duty. Two were shot to death, and then two were hit by a train. And to see the state troopers are getting with accidents. And I think that's one of the most dangerous things for them to do is do a traffic stop on the expressway with people going by at 70 miles an hour.
Every time you see it, another story comes out about it, it is hard to fathom. It makes sense only because it's a very dangerous thing to do. There's obviously such high danger with a car speeding by, but there's something about the idea that we were all taught. I was taught at 16 years old on a drive that if you see a squad car with the lights on, that you have to move over or slow down. And that seems to be forgotten by some of these drivers.
I mean, that's Scott's Law right there. What you just said is you either got to move over one lane and leave an empty lane between you and the squad car, or you have to slow down if you can't safely move over a lane.
For you, you're looking to raise funds, and you've joined in with the lotto, with the Illinois Lottery Association, and talk about what you're doing here. This is a lotto ticket that the proceeds from this one lotto ticket actually go to the Memorial Foundation and to fallen officers' families.
Yeah, it's a great thing. It's it was passed and signed by the governor earlier this year. May 7th, we had a rollout of the tickets, and on May 13th was a ceremony held at Gold Star Park. The proceeds are shared by, of course, the lottery gets 75%, and then the other 25% is cut up between the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, the Illinois State Police Memorial, and the Springfield Police Memorial, which covers all the rest of the towns in Illinois. So every police department benefits from this. And people are going to play the lottery anyway, so why not do something and support the cops at the same time?
Yeah. Do you feel like there's that you know, Illinois is obviously we're just talking about the accidents and the fallen officers. We've seen a lot in the last 2 years. Do you see from the Memorial Foundation that people get behind this cause and are giving to the charity, are supporting the families and really coming, stepping up to help the Chicago and the Illinois police?
Absolutely. I mean, starting with after Commander Brower was shot and killed in Duluth last year, people just came out and donated and made sure that we have the money. Because we picked up 8 kids last year that we're going to be responsible for paying for their education from preschool through grad school. Mm-hmm. And our goal is they graduate with no debt at all. And for other parents who are paying, they understand what a big thing that is. But that's
the goal for the families.
For us, for the families, is we'll make sure that your child graduates with no debt.
Where does that goal come from? I mean, as you get the Memorial Foundation and years and decades of supporting the families of fallen officers, that seems to be the most important thing?
Yeah, I mean, I always say if you could have talked to any one of these cops on their last day and said, listen, you're not going to go home today, what do you want us to do? It would be take care of my family, mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing.
Phil, this is an interesting time. We have a new mayor in the city of Chicago, and you've worked with mayors in the city and when you were at the police department. There's going to be a lot made of the police contract that's coming up. There's going to be a lot made of just the relationship between not just the police and the community, but the police and City Hall. When the new mayor takes office and there's the police and there's City Hall and there's been a lot of talk about reform, everyone gets a little antsy. Do you feel that? Is there tension right now between the police and our politicians?
I think it's the unknown, too. That's the thing is we don't know what this mayor is going to do, who's going to be the next superintendent after Eddie Johnson, and what direction they want this department to go in. And cops will do their job out there, but you got to let them know what you want, and then you got to back them.
When you were police superintendent, how did – you know, there's so many things that we see that you mentioned Superintendent Johnson, but – there will be times like this weekend where you'll see an inordinate amount of shootings in a weekend, 50 plus or something like that. And ultimately, someone is looking to take responsibility for that. And a lot of times it's on the superintendent's shoulders. Is that fair?
No. But, I mean, that's just the way it is. It's like a baseball team that's losing. The manager is responsible. It's the same thing here. If shootings are up, homicides are up, the superintendent's going to have to take the jacket for it.
From your vantage point of a lifetime and a career in law enforcement, why do we continue to see these kind of numbers? What is it about Chicago right now that that we have all this emphasis and all of this action that is on homicides and gun violence, yet the numbers stay the same?
Well, it's not just the police. It's got to be other law enforcement parts to the criminal justice system. And that includes the courts and the state's attorney's office. And I don't think you're seeing that from the state's attorney's office right now. I mean, we've got to put bad guys in jail and keep them in jail. That's the whole idea. And if it's not being done, then they're going to come back and be repeat as offenders.
And you see that over and over and over, and that's obviously becoming a point of contention. But they're also on the flip side to say that, you know, there's a lot of people committing crime. So if you continually put them in jail and they continually come out, maybe because of where they live and impoverished communities, that it's just a vicious cycle and it continues to create. So putting them in county, putting them in jail, it's not changing the fact that they're going to come out and commit crime.
But if you put a shooter in jail, he's not going to shoot anybody while he's in jail. And that's our feelings is let's go after the bad guys and let's keep them locked up.
Yeah. Phil Klein, the former police superintendent for the city of Chicago, is here. He, of course, is talking about how to raise money for some of the families of fallen officers. You can go to get this actual police ticket, lotto ticket that is available right now. He's also, of course, the executive director over at the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. We'll take a quick break. Come back more with Phil Klein. Stay with us. Former Chicago Police Superintendent Phil Klein is in studio. We're talking about police and policing here on John Williams Show, 312-981-7200. 773 says the police are facing a no-win situation. It's a fact that the criminals are let go and puts the blame squarely on the state's attorney. But the question I have here is that the state's attorney, and I know there's a lot of that law enforcement is really putting a push on state's attorney. But she ran on this idea, and it seems like the voters of Cook County resoundingly voted for her to do this sort of reform of political, of the state's attorney's office, and to think about how we do restorative justice and other things as opposed to just putting kids in jail. So how do you reconcile that? I mean, there's the idea that you were talking about, but this idea that there is this need to change the way the criminal justice system works in general.
Well, there's got to be a dialogue between the state's attorney and the police, mm-hmm. and they've got to come to an agreement. And sure, do we want young kids that did something in a school being locked up? No. But do we want a guy that's out here shooting and sticking up people and selling dope? Yes, we want him locked up. So there's that middle ground they have to find and work with that.
We've seen a couple of instances in the last couple of weeks of pretty violent crimes perpetrated by younger kids. We're talking like 15, 14 years old, and you're seeing it, whether it be carjackings or armed robberies, things where that, and I guess the question I have for you is you're seeing, is that a criminal underworld and gangs in Chicago being savvy to know that the rules that apply to juveniles are different than apply to adults? Why are 14 or 15-year-old kids running around with guns being able to stick people up nilly-willy?
In most cases, you hit it right on the head. The gangs know that a 14- and 15-year-old is going to have a much different day in court than a 17-, 18-, 19-year-old hard gangbanger's done time in the penitentiary. So they'll use that, and they'll also make the kids do something like that to join the gang. Hey, if you want to join the gang, you got to go carjack somebody.
Phil, you know, your vantage point of having to battle gangs and battle city Chicago crime, both from your position where you're at now, but also, you know, as a Chicago police superintendent, crime commission, all the way down the line. How has it changed? Because I've heard this story told to me by people who might be at the university level or other people who might be investigating Chicago crime, that gangs have changed, that we no longer have these hierarchies, that we no longer have the same sort of structures that may have been in place when you were superintendent, that's sort of splintered off, and now these kids are almost in the wild, wild west.
Well, they call them cliques now. In other words, you could have five different cliques in a two-block area, and they may be from the same gang or they may be different gangs. And there's no longer, they're not shooting each other because they're being ordered to from the top. This is just on their own they're doing it, and they think it's cool to do it. And there's nobody in the penitentiary, no godfather, that's telling the gangs, okay, cool, do right, this, right. And you're going to give 100% to me, and none of that stuff happens. In fact, when those guys come back to the street, those kids were babies when these guys went away. They'll end up shooting them rather than pay them a tribute.
How hard does that make it for police, for intel, for relationships, when you're not dealing with a structure? Instead, you're dealing with just straight-up lawlessness.
It's a lot harder to enforce the laws against that, because when you had a hierarchy in the gang, you got informants, you got somebody up there that was telling you, here's the word that's coming down. You were able to prevent stuff. When these things are all on the spur of the moment and they walk down the street and somebody looks at them the wrong way and they fire, it's much harder to solve those type of crimes.
It makes the job of police officer much harder, and I would assume, obviously, with the way that policing has changed, because there isn't this this big monolith, this idea of a gang that you're chasing. Instead, you're chasing the 14 and 15-year-old kid. You can kind of understand why there is this discord between communities and police, because there no longer is this, this regulated way to go about it. It's almost like I think about war zones, where when there's war is not fought the way war has been fought in the past. We saw that in the history of the United States of America, whether it be Vietnam or our Revolutionary War. It becomes more difficult to fight crime when the crime has changed. And therefore, it's got to make the job of the beat cop, the person who's on the street in some of these affected areas, almost impossible.
It is, and the beat cop has to learn who's the good kids in the neighborhood, who's the bad kids in the neighborhood, and treat them accordingly. I think you're seeing a lot less stops by the police today, and that's equaling more guns on the street. Because when the cops were stopping kids and getting guns off of them, then the word got out there, hey, be careful, the cops are out stopping people tonight, stopping gangbangers tonight. You don't have that now.
Guns is a great point. You know, if there was some gun control measures that were going through Springfield in this last session. They didn't get through. If you listen to any politician talk, they'll talk about the flow of guns coming in from the state of Indiana and other places that have lax gun restrictions has a direct impact on what's happening in Chicago. Do you see it that way from your perch?
Well, it used to be half of our guns came from suburban gun shops and the other half came from Indiana and Mississippi. So they are right. Those are the two states that a lot of kids from here would go down there, find somebody down there to buy five guns and then come back up north with them. The days of kids breaking into a house and getting a gun and using that as their crime, they buy the best guns they have. They all have Glocks and much higher power rifles to use out on the street. So
And I guess, you know, I think about it, and how do you stop it? Is it just trying to cooperate with the governments and the lawmakers to change the gun laws? How do police stop this flow? Because I hear different stories that it's easier to get a gun on the street than say a drug, than a marijuana, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at best practices in other towns and other states and see what they're doing and who's having success and adopt those things here. That's what we did when I was superintendent. We had a lot of success by doing that.
Phil, my last question before I let you go, just the police reform, we're talking about the consent decree, and Mayor Lightfoot is behind the consent decree, and this concept of a reform Chicago Police Department. Where do you stand on police reform as it's sort of playing out in the courts, the federal courts right now?
Well, I think you have to look at what parts of the reform. If the reform means more training and best practices and things like that, I'm all for it. If it's going to handcuff the police, then I'm going to be against it.
Yeah. Phil Klein, the former Chicago Police Superintendent, and of course he is the Executive Director at the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. We were talking about the lotto ticket, partnering with the lotto to have one ticket that you can get, that's the Police Memorial Foundation ticket, that gives to the 100% of the proceeds to not just your foundation, but others that help with families of fallen officers. Where can we find out more info about that?
Go to cpdmemorial.org, and like you said, this lottery ticket is for the whole state. It's not just for the Chicago police. It's for the whole state. And Father's Day is coming up. What a great gift.
There you go. Phil, great to see you. Thanks for coming
nice
in.
Nice seeing you, Justin.
All right, we'll go straight to the news here. We come back, we'll talk with Kevin Powell about the White Sox fascination with the right-handed first baseman. It's part of our legacy.